How do you feel about the possibility or even the reality of some schools going to a 12-month year school system or school year and possibly even 12-hour days? Do you have any opinion on that?
I am not in favor of that because I feel that children need that time off in the summer. They become so tired, I think they need more time to do the things they want to. And that 3 months in the summer is good for children and teachers, for that matter.
Did you enjoy teaching, and was it a worthwhile and fulfilling experience?
It was very fulfilling. I taught for at least 15 or 16 years in Chapter 1, and that was one of the most fulfilling things that I ever taught, because children that came to my class were below average on the Stanford Achievement Test, and seeing two or three children increase their scores so that they were... The sad thing was they would not be in my class the next year, but I always saw so much accomplished there, so, you know, so much good accomplished with Chapter 1 that I feel that was one of the most fulfilling things that I ever did. And I never have wanted or even thought of doing anything but teaching. I still do some private tutoring because I can't lose contact with the children even though I am retired.
Could you tell me some of your major accomplishments?
Yes, when I was in high school, I didn't get to go out for cheerleader, be in the band, and things of that type because we lived 8 miles out in the country. And of course, I knew that was out of the question as far as asking my daddy to carry me back to town to participate in things. And I decided that I was going to overcome that by making good grades. I was going to be valedictorian in my class. And I began working on that. And I only had 1B in the high school. And I know there were 5 people that came within 3 points of being valedictorian that year. But I think that was the happiest moment of my life when I succeeded in becoming valedictorian, because to me, that was the one thing that I had hoped to accomplish, that not getting to take part in so many of the things that my friends living in town could take part in. And then I knew from several of my teachers that were my models to follow that I was going to be a teacher. I can remember, I've already mentioned the teacher that I wish I had told how she influenced my life before she passed away. But there were several others that set such good examples for me. Most of them are still living today. And I was determined to prove to them that I was going to make something of myself. And after I began teaching, I enjoyed 4-H work. To me, 4-H work is one of the most important things for a student. They can get more, can accomplish more and profit more from 4-H work than any extracurricular activity in school, in elementary school especially. My children were all in 4-H club, and incidentally I do have 4 children. They were all in elementary school, and every one of them were in 4-H club and had many accomplishments in public speaking and what have you. I was sponsor of 4-H club for 8 years, if I remember correctly. And I enjoyed every minute of it. I was called on to judge many 4-H contests in school, both in school and in county. And I got a satisfaction out of that. It was a difficult decision to make, as judging any contest is, but to see the smiles on some faces. Of course, you'd see heartbreak on others' faces, but I really did get a lot of enjoyment out of being sponsor of 4-H Club. And one thing that I saw happen as far as accomplishments, while I was teaching at Sanrock, we did receive state accreditation and southern accreditation, which we did not have when I began teaching there. And the class load when I first began teaching at Sanrock was 52 children in my class the whole year. And I had come from Coosa, Georgia, where 30 was as many as you could have in a class. I mean, they just did not, state accreditation did not tolerate any more than that. And I suppose if I had not been divorced and I was a single parent, I probably would have resigned my first year at Sanrock because of 52 children. It was too great a load for any one teacher. And I was in fourth grade then. And state accreditation and southern accreditation came along, and it made a lot of difference in the things that you could accomplish in the classrooms. And too, all the federal grants did a lot, I feel like, to help with bringing students up to their potentiality. I always was of the philosophy that a child had to first have confidence. He had to know he could do something. Once he found out he could do, there was no end to what he could be doing. Some children had been made to feel that they could never do. And I came up when I was a child with a background similar to that. I don't really think my dad ever thought that I would go to college and become a teacher, but out of sheer determination, I did. Now, it's my accomplishments while I was teaching. Also, I was selected Teacher of the Year at Sanrock School one year, and then I was PTSO president for 2 years and served as secretary for 1 or 2 years. I don't remember exactly, but for a while. And it's hard to explain how fulfilling teaching has been. I most likely would not have retired at 62 had it not been for health problems, and because of that I was forced to leave it, and I had a difficult time adjusting my first year of retirement. After that, though, I have adjusted rather well.
What are some of the things you've done since you've retired?
Well, my husband and I do a lot of camping. We have a camping trailer, and we travel a lot. We go to Florida, the Smoky Mountains, and we go all over the country. And, of course, he's a great hunter. We're usually home in the winter while he's hunting, but we travel during the spring and summer. And we're just enjoying life. And my hope is to see all of the states, all of the states in the United States, if I should live long enough.
What do you consider to be the most influential historical event still affecting America today?
I would say the civil rights movement, because it's some of the things that have happened have been negative instead of positive. It's when we thought things would be, you know, when schools were integrated and civil rights were achieved and what have you, it seemed that everything would down to an even keel. But to me, civil rights are more of an issue now even than they were years ago. There seems to be more racial problems. For instance, the two little children who were drowned by their mother, the very first thing she did was give a description of a black man and had people searching for a black man who maybe abducted those children. And that just goes to tell you something about how the general public is influenced by things of that kind. And another event that has changed a lot in schools today from what it was when I first began teaching in 1957, I can remember that we had the Lord's Prayer every morning in school. We had Bible reading, and we had Pledge to the Flag. And then we would have, in the warm weather, they would have a Baptist revival across the road from San Rock School where I taught. And all the children that brought signed notes from home could go to the revival, and then they came back to school. And today, you don't mention the word religion in the classroom. That's a word you just avoid. You don't mention anything that might give anybody any idea what religion you are or of anything of that kind.
How do you feel about the use of corporal punishment in the classroom? It was more used when you first started teaching than it has.
Yes, when I first started teaching, corporal punishment was much in use, and you did not have the problems you do today. Of course, if you use corporal punishment, you had to have two witnesses when you were punching a child. I do remember the year I had a classroom of 52 people. Everybody had to be so quiet that you could hear a pin drop, because with 52 children in a small room, you could not tolerate any noise at all. And I remember assigning sentences to a boy to write one night for punishment, because he turned around and was whispering to the boy behind him. His father was also a teacher in that school. The next morning, the father came down and asked, did I have a paddle in the room? I said, yes, I have one. He said, well, I always told John that if he were punished in school, if he got punished in any way in school, he would get it at home too. And I said, but Mr. Pate, I said, that was my punishment. And as far as my punishment, you know, it's over. But he proceeded to take John to the bathroom. And poor John came back weeping for dear life. He couldn't hold the tears. And I felt so badly. The lady that I rode to school with that day, I told her, I said, I will never again make that child carry sentences home. She said, well, I could have told you he would have done that. I said, well, corporal punishment is good to some extent. But, you know, my punishment had ended, and it really hurt me to see that happen. But I have seen a few times that corporal punishment has been good, and I have seen a few times that it could have been avoided by some other means.
Do